Okay, let's get going. Amy.
Hey.
How's it going, Amy? We haven't talked in a while.
No, it's been too long. Too long.
Oh, so long. I've instead had other people to talk to.
Professionals.
I'm professional, they are.
They are.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, not you.
They're doing really well. I just leap onto their success.
But now you've come back to amateur hour.
Come back to what I know and where I belong.
We've been busy. I don't think there's been many times that we've both been in the Southampton studio for a while.
No. And it's the 1st of February. Mm. It won't be the 1st of February when this comes out. But yes, it feels like... I feel like I've started well in January and I'm kind of motivated to, but people I talk to feel like they use January to wake up.
Okay.
But yeah, and I hope now it's February, they're going to be like, oh yeah, like it is actually time to do something fun.
I see you've been dealing with a lot of out of offices and people.
And people not replying. My main bugbear.
Yep.
Cool. What kind of work have you been doing?
Been doing lots of big projects. Been doing quite a lot of discovery stuff over January, which has been good. Mm-hmm. So I did a sprint with you this week. It was this week.
Yes.
It's been a long week.
That's another thing. Like, I don't really know what I did the day before or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did a sprint this week. I joined you for day one.
Yep.
Before that, I've been doing all sorts of discovery for... clients. Got a really interesting one at the minute who is a client dealing with users in about 50 countries. So
cool.
That's got some really cool challenges to look at and work around in terms of content design.
Yeah.
But also just really simple things like, you know, when we book in user interviews or surveys or things like that, we quite often give away Amazon vouchers as prizes.
Yep.
But what do you give to someone who might live in a country where Amazon doesn't exist? Or, you know, what can you give to someone of good value that's people could be anywhere in 50 countries and some of them quite third world countries. So it's interesting how used to, you know, just working with people around us we are.
Yeah, starting to give rewards to people. I always thought Amazon was a nice, sweet little deal. But then, yeah, if you don't use it, then what do you value, I guess, is... And then actually in some recent user tests, I've heard that some people don't want the Amazon voucher because it's just not on their radar. They don't shop that way. And I'm like, I have nothing else to give you. That's cool. So working globally and different needs around the world and stuff.
Yeah. So, well, obviously kind of a bit of a challenge there in that, you know, the website that we're working on, a lot of people who are going to be looking at it may not have or probably won't have English as a first language, but also how they do use English might be totally different. And, you know, it could be really formalized English. And it's, doing the whole kind of discovery stage and looking at mental models and vocabulary around that has been quite eye-opening, but in a good way. It's been really interesting.
Does this mean you're able to go on a world tour? Because you must research in the country that you're working in.
I'm building up to it.
Okay.
This client apparently has an office in Mumbai. Yep. I would not say no to a trip to Mumbai.
Mm.
I'm just going to put that out there now. Yeah, I'd love to go to India. So
yeah.
Put me down.
Awesome.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Second sprint this year. So that was good. Kind of starting January, getting two sprints on the go. And... yeah, we're working together on this one. The previous one went well. I did a handover chat with them earlier this week and they kind of said, we've got everything we need, which is great because sometimes you hand over and there's always a fear handing over that the team aren't going to get what they need and they weren't, you know, part of the process if they're taking it on and building it or launching it. But the stakeholders and the decision maker were really happy and really, really glad about that. And then what else we've done? We've been recording some episodes. We did our first explicit episode last week. Thank you, Tim. I didn't really know going into it how much of a potty mouth he had.
Wow.
But that's been good, actually. And he's on fire. If you haven't listened to it yet, the episode with Tim Herbig, mm-hmm. is how he likes to be called, it's got some really good content in it, but he is oh so prolific on LinkedIn and social media. He's really doing it. I think he probably has a secret team somewhere just creating all this stuff.
I mean, you don't.
No, and I'm reminded by that because I looked at the Edge Sprints Instagram today and it's just been a bit of a graveyard this week. Nothing happening. But other than that, we are doing some meetups starting in a few weeks. And that's something we're going to be pushing in the next few weeks, only because I decided to do it yesterday. And we may be going outside of the UK at some point and doing a few more kind of talks and workshops and things.
Nice.
So lots of interesting stuff going on, but always not as fast as I want.
A million miles an hour, not as fast as I want.
Well, people like Gary Vee say, oh, you got to be patience. It's all about patience. I'm like, yeah, but I could get run over by a bus tomorrow. So I'm not very patient about that.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. How are your cats?
My cats are good. They're growing up quickly. Did you know that cats lose baby teeth, like kitten teeth?
Oh, I saw this photo.
I didn't think about this, but yeah, I keep finding little teeth like all over my floor.
That could be the start of a horror movie.
Yeah, it's really weird, like these tiny little fangs.
My house is filling up with teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, movies have been made on much less story than that.
That's true. I'm going to sell the rights.
Yeah. What else has been happening? Loads has been happening.
Mm-hmm. You've got an iteration sprint next week, right?
Got an iteration sprint next week. So our design sprints are 2 weeks and we get another bite at the apple or another go through the wash. I don't know which one is the right thing to say.
You're getting them back in.
Getting them back in. Back of the net. We also acquired another company.
Oh, yes, we did. I'd look so surprised at that. You what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
So Move 2 came on board and they are now Etch Play.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. I think it's very cool.
With fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. And worked with Ben actually on the first sprint this year. And yeah, it was really kind of interesting to work with someone brand new.
Yeah.
And he accepted all my demands.
Fair play. Mm. He will learn from his mistakes, but that's good that you...
Well, he has the heaviest laptop I've ever witnessed.
Oh, really?
Like he said one time, can I just leave this here? Because if I take it home and come back, I'm going to be in pieces.
Wow.
I said, yeah, sure, Ben, you know, if yeah.
But it's nice having all the extra guys in the studio.
Yeah, there's more people. The Etch Towers here in Southampton is bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
There are probably more arguments as to what goes on the stereo now.
It's the stereo in the kitchen, isn't it? The kitchen is, we've definitely outgrown our one microwave and our fridge. And
I had to change the music this morning.
Oh, did you?
Well, there's only so much you can take of Westlife, Backstreet Boys, and what's that younger boy group?
One Direction. I heard them on there this morning, yeah.
Yeah, so I just defaulted to Beach House.
That is your default setting?
Yeah, it's always Beach House. I feel like it's true to the company values.
Do you mean Beach House the band or Beach House the playlist?
No, yeah, there's a huge distinction between Beach House as a genre and Beach House as the band. Beach House... The band should probably go and, you know, find friends in Lighthouse Family or something. That is not what
okay,
we're
that's
about.
Not what you mean.
No.
I'm glad I understood this now because in a workshop the other week, I was trying to figure out which one I should be playing because, you know, Callum said, stick on some Beach House.
He's learning well, that Callum. Do you know what? I was thinking on the ride in this morning through all the fake snow.
Slush.
It's not snow.
No.
It's not snow day. Yay.
It's very underwhelming.
Yeah. My wife, Steph, was like peeking out the window all last night going, is it coming? I'm like, What was I saying? I was reflecting on some of the changes that have happened within Itch over the last like 12, 16 months, and just hearing the beep of a time timer in some meetings that people are having, and hearing listening choices and things. It's just good. It's good that the people are using that.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, if we can move people from doing agendas, that'd be awesome.
We'll try.
Relevant point.
Cool. Is there a chance that we were late recording this podcast because you were putting together an agenda?
Yeah.
That you didn't want to do.
But then I don't have a obvious system for people to dip into. So I am totally obsessed with systems. And so if people need to know something on a regular basis, there probably needs to be a system for that.
Okay.
So I just need a folder of agendas and then they can But agendas are flawed.
Yeah.
It's like giving someone homework to do before they turn up to a meeting.
Well, they never get stuck to. It's kind of a...
Well, this is the point. You're giving them bad data.
Mm.
What if one agenda item you take 45 minutes instead of 30, then the whole of it's irrelevant. It's like printing something and the minute it's printed, it's out of date.
Mm.
But, you know, I don't have very strong opinions on that.
No, not at all.
Amy, do you have a topic to talk about this episode?
Sort of. I've been starting to, well, it's always kind of been there, but I'm looking more and more about using tech for good and making sure that what we're doing is a force for good. Not just because of my new library book, which I got from the Etch Library today.
What is it?
It's Technically Wrong, Sexist Apps, Biased Algorithms, and Other Threats of Toxic Tech.
Do you know bias is such a hot topic?
I'm not surprised.
As well as growth. But yeah, so why did you come to pick this book?
I have come to pick this book because there's just so many examples on Twitter all the time of things where, you know, either selections don't apply to people or you can actually really upset someone with, you know, things that come up on algorithms. I think one of the first examples in this book is a guy who... Facebook, you know, Facebook does like memories and looking back on, you know, this year and this day last year or whatever. And it gave him like a picture of his dead daughter and things like that. But also just because of kind of some of the products that I've been working on lately, we've been working with a charity, a mental health charity. Mm. And just really want to make sure that, you know, everything that we're doing, we're kind of thinking, obviously we know how we want products and systems and services to be used, but not everyone thinks like us. And, you know, how could people break this or use it in the wrong way? And, you know, how are we making sure that we address that and that doesn't happen?
Yeah.
So, are
you on a, does it help you in your world of content design, or is it just a larger kind of everything you see, you're trying to work out what the meaning is and who wrote it? And
Definitely I'm looking at it from a kind of content design point of view, but I'm going to make sure that the whole design team reads this book after I'm done with it. Because I think it's so important to anyone who's building anything.
Yeah.
It's got to be considered in everything that we do.
Okay. So for good, so what do we want to kind of understand about building stuff for good?
Just having a positive effect on people's lives. You know, the whole landscape at the minute, there's just so much negativity and so many things happening. And why would you want to add to that? Mm. I don't want to add to that. I don't think anyone here at Etch wants to build something that's bad or that adds to, you know, kind of cognitive load that's already on people. But how are we making sure that actually what we do is for the best and, you know, it does help people, rather than just adding more stress and more problems to people's lives?
Oh, totally. I think most people are unhappy. Mm-hmm. from what I only see a tiny bit of the world, but I know that most people that I see on the high street, they are probably surviving on credit cards and they're trying to get that tiny dose of happiness to give them that feeling, because everything is just up in the air, not just politically, and we're not going to say the B word, but it just, it feels like it's really hard being an adult.
Yeah.
depending on your situation at home or your finances or anything like that, even being employed, nearly every day LinkedIn tells me that this company is firing 300 or 3,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Media at the minute is going crazy as well. Just no writers are being paid. No one has any jobs left. It's, yeah, it's crazy.
Dyson's moving out of the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks. I love that. I'm going to take that. No. It's just really hard. And what we don't want to do is add to that badness.
And it goes deeper than just having a tone of voice that aims to delight people.
Yeah.
That can't be it. You can't just build something and then smear on some nice words to make it a bit happier.
Yeah.
It has to run deeper.
Someone said that if your company aim or your mission is to make the world a better place, then that is just totally unrealistic. And you need to aim towards something that's just a bit more tangible, even if it's employing a load of people to ensure that they're going to have a better quality of life or reduce your impact on the environment, or something a bit more focused than saying, everything that we're doing is aiming for this, you know, global good.
Mm. And it might even be with some businesses or some job roles, you know, your aim is for people to never have to need to use you because things have got to the stage where you don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example.
That's
now.
Deep. Yeah.
But let me find her name. I think it's Anna, who is kind of head of brand and content at Slack. I will look her up. But she was talking recently. She said that I typed in
Anakin Skywalker.
I started typing in Anna on Twitter to see, you know, following, but it came up with Anna Kendrick first as autocorrect, autofill for me.
Yeah.
So that's good. Let me scroll down. You fill a little
bit. I'm going to fill.
Yeah, you fill.
Yeah. So sometimes, we're in an agency, and our kind of role here is to help clients do what they need to do. Sometimes that is what they feel they need to do, and sometimes they will ask, please can we improve this part of our product or whatever, and the thing that we often ask to start with is why and what they want to achieve, because just simply doing business as usual and fixing the things that are falling apart, you can do it in a very kind of small impact way. And we're always heading to getting people to think a bit bolder, starting to question why, and just trying to do something that people feel like is purposeful. Because you can make something that looks nicer, but if it doesn't do the job that it originally should do, or the world's moved on and it hasn't kept a pace, and or it's not relevant to the customers, then what on earth are you doing? And that's why I'm keen on people enjoying and engaging with work. And if they don't, then they're probably in the wrong place.
Yeah. That's a fair enough summation.
Have you found your link yet?
I have. So that was really good filler. You've done this before.
I'll be here all week.
So Anna Pickard, who is the creative director of voice and tone and words at Slack. It's a lot of stuff to be working on.
It's quite hard to fit on a Twitter profile, that.
Mm. But she's done it. She's managed it.
Yeah, fair.
Because she is creative director of all of those things.
True.
She has managed it.
Yeah.
So she was having an argument in her house recently, and she was saying that as a head of brand voice or of house style, your only objective should be to render yourself obsolete by putting in place documents and structure and community of practice that don't require you. But the person who she was having the argument with, who I believe is her partner, says that getting fired is not a good OKR. But, I mean, it's not too far off, I would say, from what you're doing with Sprints, because you're scaling up businesses so that they can make better decisions and make better choices and get there faster. Mm. So in a way, you're trying to make yourself obsolete.
Yeah, I think that's an enjoyable pursuit. Mm-hmm. I think I would rather make myself out of business than anyone else. I definitely never... do I want to be fired one day? I don't know. I just think life's an adventure. And I think that I'm able to navigate whatever, you know, comes my way career-wise because, you know, I'm trying to keep relevant. My main mission in life is keeping relevant, which means I need to suck the life out of every new thing that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, in terms of the work that we do, that I think it's just very obvious that sometimes teams need outside help because they're going around in circles. They can't get this thing going. They can't even define the problem they're solving, and that's where they need outside help.
Mm-hmm.
And that you know, that they see their world and no one else's. So that is the advantage of working with an agency that's very, very good. And there are agencies that are not very good.
Yeah.
So part of our mission here at Etch is to redefine what that looks like. And the time when companies are saying they don't need outsourcing, which is essentially what it is because they're trying to lower cost. So lowering cost to them sometimes means making best use of their staff. That's a very kind of machine-led term. But if they invest in their people, then that's going to sit better with them. What they probably need to do before that is work out whether the people still want to be there.
Yeah.
But that's why we offer to do kind of facilitation as a outside agency, but we can also train them to use certain ways of working because sometimes they're playing catch up. They mm-hmm. are way behind where they need to go. And I liken it to how I define digital transformation is that companies that exist and they have a website, they are the ones that aren't in that world at all. The ones that have now, with the internet and the technology that we have now said, if we were a company starting today, how would this look? They are the ones on the path of digital transformation. So yeah, we do both because there are two different needs. Mm-hmm. And if anything, as a kind of product designer from an agency, when I want to help people within teams, there are two ways that I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I like this idea of making yourself obsolete.
Yeah.
Because that's an interesting mission. Some people could take that negatively because some people are a little insecure about their role.
I see what you mean.
And
yeah.
how they work, and some people make it look like they're doing more work than they should.
Yeah, looking busy.
Yeah. It's very common in open plan offices.
People playing on the Sonos.
Yeah. But yeah, other places I've worked, you have more meetings because you're looking busy. Mm. But if you actually look at the output and whether you're moving the needle or not, that's just a whole other conversation. A lot of teams don't know their KPI. They don't know what they're being measured against. And they try and make themselves look nice for the annual 360 review. And they just need to wake up a bit.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But I do like that comment.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it quite a bit and thinking, I think I do agree.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we do always want to be skilling up people and leaving people with the resources to be able to do what they need.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one.
And she was arguing with her partner.
I think so, yeah.
On Twitter.
Well, she was tweeting about a argument that we're having in her house.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Remote relationship.
And there's a good monkey gif with it as well.
So she works within content design, tone of voice, and those kind of worlds. We had a question within the studio earlier this week about, do we do tone of voice and do we do these kind of things?
Yes.
And I said, quite obviously we do. But that led me to think of how does one deliver tone of voice, because isn't certainly as long as I've worked at Etch, how we communicate and what we believe in isn't really a document I would read. It's something that I experience and understand, often through failing a lot to start with and then learning as I go through.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how tone of voice can be delivered? Because I know when a team would deliver a strategy, that's a document that's put somewhere and never looked at again.
Yeah.
How is tone of voice effectively the best, the best thing that can be delivered and usable?
I think part of it depends on the confidence of the business. So the example that was shared around in the office was Monzo.
Yeah.
Normally you would put, or lots of businesses would put, tone of voice guidelines in with their brand guidelines, which, you know, is a dusty old PDF again that people don't open until a designer says, look, it needs to be these fonts, these colors. But more and more people have started using them as like an open design system.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the change, I think. And, you know, it's all very well having on your design system, you know, this is how we use buttons, this is, you know, the components that we use, blah, blah, blah. But having the content decisions in there as well and the rationale behind some of those decisions, that is really useful.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might only be for, you know, this is why we use this date formation, or this is the style that we use for numbers or things like that. But I think there's a place for tone in there as well, if you've got, you know, especially a really clearly defined company tone.
Yeah.
But then that would again depend on kind of the confidence of the company in what they're doing to, you know, feel happy with sharing that, I think.
Yeah. It needs to be kind of plug and play. I mean, Shannon, who recently joined us in the London studio, I was talking to her about when we're creating content, and she was asking me, oh, how do we do that? Do we have any guidelines or anything? I said, well, actually, you just need to start. I mean, we're not a huge business that has this kind of lots of attention at the moment. it's coming. just get on and get started, and don't worry, because you'll just procrastinate. But then there are larger companies like, you know, your GSKs and stuff that would be more protective over what they say, either because it may dictate what the share price is, especially kind of Elon Musk's companies. If you appear on a radio show and you're a bit off. That might impact, but I think we love Elon a bit more for that. I just wonder if sometimes guidelines get in the way of actually executing stuff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's possible for people to have really good intentions and want to do stuff and then see guidelines and panic and think, oh, well, if I create something, it's never going to get through guidelines, or it's never going to get through approval.
Yeah.
And it can stifle, you know, people who want to do good things.
There was an article around about when I think Obama left office, and it was something like, you do know that everyone's faking it, or that you do know that every... It had a clickbait worthy title.
Right.
But it's kind of saying everyone doesn't know what they have to, or something. They're just getting on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's often the case, you know, when a team might ask for a digital strategy, they're asking for that because they don't really know what they're looking for or what they need to do, and you know, they just need a mission. They just need to know the kind of behaviors and the types of work that they need to do and just get on with it. But I do like that kind of idea that you don't need to read a document and off you go. You just need to kind of get on with it and learn from doing it, because the people behind it are people. They're not... You could feed it into a machine and...
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think the vast majority of, you know, company tone of voice and things that exist, they've never been tested. It's just what someone thinks.
It's a best guess to start with.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be like, battle tested, you know. Although, isn't Sarah Richards working on a global content design guide?
The readability guidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool project.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, we interviewed her on the podcast. Check that out. Cool. Anything else?
Nice one. No, it's all going well.
It's all going well. Yeah, I just thought after a few kind of structured interview-led podcasts, we probably needed one that was a little softer, a little more comfortable.
You can do your smooth radio voice again.
Smooth radio voice.
Yep.
Unlike that guy. What's his name? I'm going to give him a shout out.
You're obsessed with this guy.
Mike Russell. If anyone wants some great content, go on YouTube and search Mike Russell. He's very enthusiastic.
He's the one.
He's the one. I heard the other day that when Adam was off skiing, he was listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gave us a shout out from the slopes.
Yeah. So we know one person that's listening.
Yep.
Simplecast, it's telling me that we do have a bit of a global reach, which is fun.
Nice.
Let me note off a few places. We have 10 podcasts. This will be the 11th. But we've recently got the recast feature, which means I can share loads of stuff on social media.
That's amazing. I've had some nice comments as well. So if Abby...
Oh, yeah, you have. You
got... Abby, who we work with.
Yeah.
I'm going to send her a link to this and see if she hears her name drop.
So one of the most popular ones was the mentoring episode that we did.
Yeah. We had some nice feedback on that, didn't we?
Which, yeah, check that out. Essentially, I have no idea what you said at the time, but I said... I said, try and find people that are doing better than you outside of your business and just talk to them.
And have you been?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, all the time. I hear Jake Knapp is recommending people to talk to me about selling sprints. I could retire off that.
What was it on your Instagram stories the other day?
Okay.
Were you talking about potatoes?
So I was putting in jacket potatoes into the oven. This is why you're listening to this podcast. I was putting jacket potatoes into the oven and I said at the time, I'm just putting in these Jake. And I was like, oh, wow. There, that's just me.
These Jake Napadatos.
I'm just thinking of the Napster. So we have listeners in Atlanta. We have listeners in Los Angeles, which is good because I'm going there in a few months.
Nice.
Pretty hot in the U of K.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the middle of England. Peterborough, shout out to you. Hamburg, Dresden, Stuttgart, all places we would like to go. So if you want to hit us up and say we would love to have you come and show us what you're made of. In Istanbul, never been, love to do that.
We should go along to these places, have a few drinks and do a little live podcast.
Yeah.
A little live chat with these people.
We're not doing well in Russia.
Are we not?
No. Yeah. Listen up, Russia. And actually South Africa, big kind of, I was going to say desert, but no. What was I going to say? Some things are coming up that would be worth people's interest. So we are running a design sprint facilitator training workshop on the 11th and 12th of February in our nice studio in London. And that would be great for anyone that's kind of interested in new ways of working. We had a bunch of Scrum Masters at the last one who are just keen on learning more about how to work with teams and just if anything, I think people come to the training to become more valuable.
Yeah.
Which tails onto reading good books, which
yes.
I think raises each other's value as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening. What else is happening in the world? Are you going to any events coming up or any conferences?
No, but it's obviously a new year and I am eyeing the training budget, so...
Is there actually a training budget?
Yeah, we have training budgets.
Oh yeah, cool.
there is the biggie, the big content conference, which is Confab.
Oh, yeah.
That I would be interested in going to. But there is also, is it just UX London or London UX or something?
Oh, yeah.
But it's got Sarah. We love Sarah. But also Erica Hall, who is someone else who I love.
She of Mule Design and did a really good article about design sprints being snake oil.
Yes, which, she did.
Which actually has some great content in it.
And she also wrote Just Enough Research and Conversational Design, which are both kind of Bibles of the Etch Studio.
I think we have much to thank Erica Hall for.
We definitely do. And she's really good on Twitter as well. I don't know if you follow her on Twitter, but if you don't, you should.
Yeah. Could you ask her if she'd be on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
So yeah, I would be quite interested in going to that as well. I'm gonna do a little bit of a looky and see what I can get along to.
Cool. I have no plans to participate in a workshop or conference. I just want to go there and speak.
Yep.
So there might be a few coming up. London, Newcastle, Croatia is happening. That might be happening. And we'll probably do something in LA in April because I'm there. Cool. I felt like leaving on a thought for the day, but this isn't the Scouts.
No, you really should have given me a heads up if you needed me to think of a thought.
No. No thoughts here.
No.
Just words.
Just words of wisdom.
Yeah. Cool. So hopefully that was a good kind of mix in between the kind of leaders of industry where you and I just have a chat instead.
Yeah. Something else that I think we should chat about in the future is adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like adventures.
Yeah.
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 Like,
we're going to try and do more adventures, aren't we? I think generally as Etch.
Oh, right. Yes.
But also, yeah. So Joe and I went to the Adventure Travel Show.
You did.
And we very badly didn't tell you about it in advance because you said you'd like to go too. But it was good.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna ramp up the adventures.
Cool.
Yeah.
On another episode, I can talk about the Etch Cycling Club.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Have a bit of fun with that. What else is happening? Yeah, much of that, really. Cool. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks.
Have a great Friday.
Yeah, I'll have a good Friday. Have a good Friday too, Russ. Are you going to go back to some of that whiskey that's in the kitchen?
Yeah, when was Burns Night?
It was a week ago today.
Okay, but we're still allowed to just continue thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you, me and Tim are the only ones who've actually had any of it, so there's still a pretty much full bottle of whiskey.
It's pretty, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that, but I just go for it. Yeah.
Just go for it.
Okay.
Cool.
See you at the bar.
Yep. Bye. Bye.